some photos I'm going to pass around. I'm Gigi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Gigi.
And I want to thank you for asking me to share at this meeting. I've shared here a couple times before, and I know there's a lot of good recovery in this meeting. I just love this meeting. To qualify, I've been in OA 9 years. As far as physical recovery, I've lost over 180 pounds. At my highest weight, I weighed close to 400 pounds. And that was actually not too long ago, you know, like maybe 5 years ago or so. But my best recovery that I feel is my emotional recovery. It's the emotional recovery that I have that maintains my physical recovery. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today, is the emotional recovery. To tell you a little bit about what it was like, I was 57 years old when I joined OA, and even though I was mature in age, I was actually very insecure. I was a very insecure person. What others thought about me was more important than anything in the world. I got my value by other people. I wanted to be liked by everyone. I wanted to be accepted by everyone. So what I ended up doing was what people wanted me to do. I tried to figure out what they wanted me to be, and I became that. So I was not very genuine. I was, you know, just whatever I thought I had to be at the moment. And I was a people pleaser. That's probably my biggest character defect. So I had these coping skills as a child because my mother was very dominating, controlling, and self-centered. Her needs were most important. My needs did not matter. So that's the message I got as a child and how I related through most of my adult life. I did what she wanted. For instance, in high school, I wanted to study French, but she wanted me to study Latin. It didn't matter I was flunking Latin. You know, she still wanted me to study it. And when I graduated from high school, I really wanted to go to art school and be a fashion designer. That was what my heart was set on. But she insisted I go to the university, even though I had to pay my way through college. She insisted I get a college degree. She insisted I go to academics. The one thing that was kind of in my favor is they had these college-level entrance proficiency exams. And if you took them, you got 6 units per test towards your GE. So I passed all 6 of those and got all my GE requirements out of the way. So at least, even though I was going to college for her, I could take what I wanted. And that was kind of nice. Early in life, again, even as I graduated from college, it was what my mother wanted. I had a BA in English and really no career options when I graduated. So she said, go into banking. So I went into banking, and I hated every minute of it. I hated it until I finally got my real career at 30. But those early coping skills transferred into doing what others wanted and to realizing that other people's needs were what my life mission was all about, making other people happy, making other people do what they want. Well, some of that is nice. You want to help other people, but it was very sick in the way that I was putting it out. I became the rescuer, the victim, and the persecutor. I lost my sense of self because I was everybody else's needs and desires. And what happened is that food was my only means of escape because I could make my own decision. I could eat whatever I wanted. So I thought I wanted to eat sugar and carbs and all the stuff that just seems so nice. It wasn't till like I really got some emotional recovery that I realized that's not what I wanted. That wasn't really what I wanted to eat. So what happened? In 2014, I had to have open heart surgery to replace my valve, and I was scared because I was heavy. And it's not an easy surgery. So I started praying 2 hours every day. And I actually upped my spiritual program, just kind of supercharged it. And this went on for a number of months. And I was also, you know, trying to lose some weight, but like basically it was a spiritual program that happened first. And I started playing around with higher powers, with my higher power. It kind of changed genders, you know, it went through a gender change. And, you know, it stopped being a person and became a force. So it's like I started playing around with all these different identities for higher power. But the thing is, no matter who or what my higher power was, I always had one. I always had a higher power. And that relationship got stronger as my spiritual practice got stronger. So by 2015, I had a spiritual breakthrough. This is when the miracle occurred. It was in May, and like, give you some background, I was always a couch potato, you know, always never exercise. People say, go out for a walk. Yeah, sure, you know. In May, I started walking every day, and I have walked every day since May, whatever, in 2015, with the exception of maybe 2 days when my back was out. So, like, I have walked every day since May, and many days I walk 2 times a day because I have a dog and she likes to go twice a day. In August, I actually changed my food plan, and I started paying attention to what I was eating, and I had never eaten vegetables. I would buy them, they'd rot. I'd buy more, they'd rot. And that was my relationship with vegetables. I started to eat vegetables. And the amazing thing is that I actually have favorite vegetables now. And I never thought I would eat them, let alone like some. And these changes were really nothing short of a miracle. But the most important changes were around my character defect of people-pleasing. I think this change occurred because of doing my fourth and then eventually my 10th step. Because all of a sudden, because of my fourth step, I started to ask myself, what is my part of the problem? Like on page 83 of the big book, it says, their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that their own actions are partly responsible. So I was always the victim. I was always the victim. So it's like, why would I blame myself? What was my part? Of course I never asked myself that. And then, of course, I do the fourth step. And it's like, this is new. I had to ask where I was controlling, where I was manipulative, where I was self-serving, and where I was people-pleasing. And this was like something I never looked at before. So it took some time, but eventually, by looking at my part in any kind of problem I had, my relationships started to improve. I began to see that for every resentment, that I did something to contribute to it. Even if it was just to allow myself to be abused or allow myself to be used, I still was doing something. And the promises promise us that we will have a new freedom and a new happiness. I think you become free when your defects of character are removed. And they only get removed by identifying them. What's my part of the problem? And then releasing them in the seventh and eighth step. I think it's the seventh and the eighth step. Where you release them. Now, it doesn't happen right away. I did my seventh step, and, you know, I was still people-pleasing. And even today, I still people-please to some degree. But it's amazing that somehow at the spiritual level, like the way the current runs underneath the water and you don't see it on the surface, at the spiritual level, running underneath my life, just the act of identifying my character defect and then asking it to be removed, it starts to change, and you get that emotional recovery. So, how I am now. My worst fear used to be someone thinking poorly of me. That used to be the thing that frightened me the most of, oh, they don't like me. They've rejected me. Now I realize that we are all unique, all of us. And there are some people who won't get me. They're just not going to get me, no matter what. And I know that that's okay. That is absolutely okay, because they are 100% entitled to whatever they feel, whatever they think. And we can have this world just go along fine with that being the case. They don't have to all like me, and I don't have to like all them. We just have to respect and love people. So my self-worth no longer depends on what other people think of me, and as a result, I am more genuine. I am actually who I am more often. And I take care of my own needs and desires, which is something new, you know, to tell myself, nah, you got to do that. You got to take care of that, because that's for you. It does happen occasionally that I people please, but that's behavior from my childhood. It's going to take maybe a lifetime to change that. And what I do is I treat my interpersonal behaviors like they were an abstinent food. And how I do that is I set boundaries. I refuse to treat a new person in my life to lunch or to loan them money, because I've had too many chance situations where I set the boundary, I set the precedent that they can use me. They can have me, you know, give them money. And so now in the beginning, I stay totally away from that. I establish a firm give and take with people before I put what they want first. If I know them well, then I might put their needs first on occasion, but I have to really have that relationship first. I'm discriminate about who I give my time or my money to. And if I've fallen into the triangle game of being the rescuer, the victim, the persecutor, then I have to distance myself from that person, because that relationship is not working. And it's just like an abstinent food. You have to stay away from it. If I ignore these protective behaviors, I slip into unhealthy relationships, and that always leads to unhealthy eating. The unhealthy relationships always get me into the food. So I feel, in conclusion, emotional recovery is the key to obtaining and maintaining physical recovery. Emotional recovery is painful. You learn how I hurt myself. I learn how I hurt others. I learn how I allow others to hurt me. But the key question is always, what is my part? What is my part in all of this? What am I doing? What do I get out of this behavior? Why? Why am I doing this? So when you do an honest fourth or tenth step, this is the only way I can deal with problems and achieve emotional recovery. And I will never say I've learned it all, because I think for me it will always be a struggle. But abstinence and physical emotional recovery are worth that struggle. In a way, I think it's that struggle that sets me free. So, yeah, there's no freedom without the fight. I'd like to end with a quote from the For Today, January 18th. The best way out is always through, from Robert Frost. I used to take the long way around, avoiding problems, escaping feelings. In OA, I heard it called the easier, softer way. But is my way really easier? No. I think it's the hard and painful life of hell way. I am grateful for the awareness of old patterns. Today I count on God's help to remove those faults I expose when I take the honest way out of my difficulties. Practice of steps 4 through 9 prepares me for facing rather than trying to escape my problems. Thank you.